Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So to become a pastor in our church body, all candidates go through an interview with our clergy commission. We call it a colloquy interview. And I was recalling my colloquy interview, which was about, a little over 12 years ago, early 2008. And I walked into a familiar room on the seminary campus in Fort Wayne, and I saw a group of familiar faces, men that I had become acquainted with, including my own former pastor, Pastor Duell. And normally they would grill you on theology, but they told me that they had very few theological questions for me that day because they felt like they knew where I was theologically, and I had written a tome for my pre-colloquy packet, the questions they send you ahead of time. So we spent time discussing other matters of ministry, and some of them took the opportunity to give me, impart certain advice, and so on. And I recall one pastor, Pastor Dick Heater, looked at me and he said, I only have one thing to say to you. He said, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen twice as much as you speak. This is not the first time I had heard that, of course, not because I was a loud mouth, no comment, but because this is a common thing to hear from parents, from teachers, though not always something easy to put into practice. As a church here, we currently are in the process of training new Stephen ministers for our Stephen ministry. And one of the first training sessions that we did was on the art of listening. We consider listening to be one of the most important skills that a Stephen minister can have. And not just Stephen ministers, but all of us. We're reminded of the words of James 1, verse 19, which says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And when caring for other people, the Stephen ministry training teaches this diagram they call SOLAR, S-O-L-A-R, and the S stands for sit slightly forward, so you sit slightly forward. The O stands for open, you maintain an open, relaxed posture, you know, you're not standing there with your arms crossed and not looking very attentive. The L is look into the other person's eyes, and then the fourth one, the A, pay strict attention to what the other person is saying that you are able to, and the R is reflect what the other person says. And these aren't just important words for a pastor or a Stephen minister, but important words for all followers of Jesus and probably really all people in all relationships. But I maintain that in the various things that we're called to do in this life that might require us to hear and care for others, it all begins with not just listening to other people, but with the art of listening first to Jesus. The art of listening to Jesus. As you've heard already, today is Transfiguration Sunday. And in our gospel account that we just heard moments ago, we see Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, up a high mountain. And there he was transfigured before them. We're told that he shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. We read from the gospel according to St. Matthew. In the gospel of Mark, we're told that his clothes were as white, or they were whiter than any launderer on earth could launder them, is the wording there, or bleach them. And we're told that appearing with Jesus was Moses and Elijah talking with him. And St. Luke adds that they are talking to him about his exodus, about his departure, about his death. And as good as the Stephen ministry training is, St. Peter hadn't quite mastered the art of listening. St. Peter tends to speak first, think later. And I think, I can relate sometimes. I imagine some of you can relate sometimes to that. So what does he say? Typical Peter with, you know, foot-in-mouth disease says, you know, Lord, it's good to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And we're told that when Peter is still speaking, God interrupts him. This is not the time to talk, Peter. Quiet your tongue and listen up. The cloud overshadowed them, and God the Father speaks these words, interrupting St. Peter, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. As great as this miraculous event was that Peter, James, and John got to be part of, it was merely to confirm to them that the words that they hear from the mouth of their Savior are words that they should attend to. Perhaps you've had a mountaintop experience like that of these disciples, not necessarily seeing Jesus, Moses, and Elijah transfigured in glory, but when you've experienced God in a new way or felt his presence in a new way. And perhaps you've been trying to attain that over and over again because you want to know that you are in the presence of God again. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't want to say anything ill about those experiences, but you are looking in the wrong place. If you are trying to attain that mountaintop high, once again, our Lord interrupts you and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. He's right here for you. He's present and at work in just as real and amazing ways as you have experienced him on that mountain. He's here and present in his very word, which is breathed out by God and speaks words of eternal life, the words of forgiveness and salvation, words of comfort and strength. Listen to him. St. Peter learned from his boneheaded days and years later writes the words that we heard Lauren read in our second reading from 2 Peter 1. He reminds the readers that he was an eyewitness of Jesus' majesty, his glory. He heard the voice from heaven on that holy mountain, he says. But then hear what he says next in verse 19 of your second reading. He says, "And we have something more sure." We have something more sure. The prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. The word of God, the prophetic word as written by Moses and the prophets and the apostles. This is the sure and certain word of God, more sure than those mountaintop experiences, says St. Peter. You, brothers and sisters, have the sure word of God, the prophetic word, the holy scriptures. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus as he speaks to you words of forgiveness, words of strength, words of comfort, sometimes words of rebuke and correction, words of eternal life. The Christian life is a life lived like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, which is why Jesus tells her sister Martha, "Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." That's not to say that we shouldn't do and serve and all those things. We had examples earlier today of our school board who are called to serve the Lord, called to serve his congregation and his people at St. Peter's Lutheran School. But their first calling is to sit at the feet of Jesus, to attend to his word, to be strengthened and equipped daily by what God has said to them. Listen to him. The Christian life begins with listening. St. Paul even says, faith comes by hearing. Just as we must develop our listening skills in our everyday relationships, especially our marriages, at least speaking for myself anyway, we must also develop our listening skills in our faith life. Sitting, listening, hearing the words of our Savior. The only words that can give us life and hope in this world. The disciples on that mountain would go down the mountain with Jesus, And he would begin to tell them all about how he would go to Jerusalem, be handed over to the chief priests, crucified, died. He would die, and then on the third day, he would be raised. But they would not get it. They didn't listen very well. More often than not, they chose to speak when they should be listening. "Well, we'll never let that happen," Peter says in Matthew 16. And Jesus says what to him? "Get behind me, Satan, for you have not in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Peter will also go on to say that he will never deny Jesus, but I think you probably know that story. And before the cock crows three times, he's done it. Talk less, Peter. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. John and James aren't exactly without spot or blemish. They are arrogant and self-centered, looking out for themselves. Yeah, we heard you, Jesus, but in the meantime, promise each of us a position on your right and your left in your kingdom that's coming. Talk less, sons of thunder. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And we could talk about Moses and Elijah as well. Temper, disobedience, despair and worry, lack of trust in the promises of God. Listen to him, prophets of God. Talk less, brothers and sisters in Christ. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. But we don't often listen. We are a lot like these examples: hypocritical, unfaithful, arrogant, bitter, impatient, caring mostly about ourselves, putting ourselves before others, quick to speak, maybe even quick to lose our temper, disobedient to the word of God, often lacking and despairing over our sins because we fail to trust the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Take comfort in this. On that mountain, this glorious mountain where Jesus shone as bright as the sun, there are five men up there with him: Peter, James, John, and Moses and Elijah. Jesus is surrounded by nothing but sinners up there. Nothing but those men who have failed often, who have chosen to speak when they shouldn't, who have worried, who have despaired, who have tried to take matters into their own hands rather than trusting God. We can identify a lot with these people. We're all sinners. We all need the promises, the certainty of Jesus' words. Listen to him. What are those words that we're to listen to? Words that tell us, even in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our temptation, in the midst of our hypocritical living, or whatever it might be, these words that say, "Your sins are forgiven." These words that he says from the cross, "It is finished." Words that say, "You are mine. You are my beloved." Words that we hear him say even to the disciples in that moment, "Have no fear." The words we heard in one of our hymns earlier, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will be your strength and your shield." Words of promise, words of hope, words of forgiveness, words that speak a more sure and certain word than our feelings do. We may not feel very loved. We may not feel like we're doing a very good job. We may not feel like God is present. Listen to him. You are his beloved. Not because of what you've done, but because of who he is, as we heard these students sing a little bit ago. You belong to him. And he is with you always, even to the end of the age. So as we close and we move from this Transfiguration Sunday, which is the height of this Epiphany season that we've been talking about for the last several weeks, as Jesus reveals himself to us, we now move into this season of Lent, the season where we walk with Christ toward his cross, toward his death for our sins. And I pray that throughout this season, and not just this season, but throughout your life, you would listen to him. Take time to be in his word. Hear what is sure and certain in the midst of so many lies in this world, in the midst of so many things that toss us to and fro in this world. Listen to him. Be in his word. Attend to his word as we have extra services on Wednesdays. Attend to his word as a family, around the dinner table. Attend to his word as you may give up some kind of thing for a Lenten fast. Don't just give something up and then tell everybody about it. That's another sermon. But don't just give something up, add something in. Attend to the reading of God's word. Be in prayer and in service to our Lord. And as you attend to his word, hear those words that he says to you. Those words that are promised to you because you belong to Jesus Christ. Those words that tell you, just like we heard God the Father say, "You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." In Jesus' name. Amen.